Good morning, everyone. I'm just going to start the call to worship now. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pastures. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Everyone here. Is there any guests who would like to be introduced today? If not, then I think we're going to go into another song.
Good morning. So, if you'd like to take your blue books, and I believe it's number 372, let's stand and sing together.
Thank you.
story. So I see a couple kids out there. If you guys want to make your way down.
Come a little closer. Thank you. You guys are just in time. Put your stuff down. And then you can have a story. Here, I'll take that. I'll take it. Thanks. Awesome. Good morning. We just sang about a river. Does anyone know what a river is? You've never seen a river? No? Well, Winnipeg is built on two rivers. Where the rivers crossed, that's where people decided that's a good place to make a city. Because in the old days, people didn't have cars or too many things with wheels, and there were a lot of trees all over the place. So it's pretty hard to get from one place to another, except on a river. What can you use to go on a river? A bridge, yeah. But if you want to go a long way, you need another thing that starts with a B. How about a boat? What do you use to make a boat? If you didn't have plastic or metal or things, could you use wood to make a boat? Do you think in the olden days people had lots of wood? Yep. And they just needed an oar. What's an oar made out of? Wood. Wood, yes. So they would take their boats and they would go meet people at the river, because that was an easy place to get from place to place. So in our Bible story today, I think it's Paul. Am I right? Is it Paul? Ah, awesome. Paul is traveling, and he gets to a new city, and he doesn't really know anyone. So he, on the Sunday, goes down to the river, because that's where people meet, because that's an easy place to get to. So, and while he's there, he sees some people who are having a meeting, a prayer meeting. And because Paul was a very good friend of Jesus, do you think he would like to be at a prayer meeting? We're still not sure. Paul would like to be at a prayer meeting. And he's meeting people there. And he met a woman. A woman. I think her name was Lydia. And she liked Paul very much. And Paul told her about Jesus. And she really liked what she heard. And she said, whenever you come down the river to this place, you need to come and stay with me. So now, not only do they are able to travel from place to place on the river, but they have a place to stay when they get to that spot in the river. Pretty cool. All right, we're going to hear lots about rivers today. So when you're sitting with your parents, you can listen for that. Can we bow our heads for prayer? God, thank you for the many rivers you put in our lives that help us meet the people we need to meet when we meet them. Amen. Off you go.
Okay, we're going to be moving on into community life and sharing time. So for prayer requests, Dick Cron is in Concordia Hospital with a broken hip after a fall. He's still waiting surgery, so please keep Dick in it. Oh, really? Okay, that's good. Hopefully we'll keep him in your prayers after, so he has a nice recovery. Also, Peter Peters would like to thank everyone for the cards and flowers, calls and visits during his hospital stay. He'd also like to, and a special thanks to the Prayer Shawl Quilt Ministry for the beautiful prayer quilt. And so some things that are happening, the caregiving team is joyfully recommending David and Jacqueline for baptism and church membership here, so that's very exciting. That's happening at Pentecost service June 9th. Also, June 2nd, which I believe is this coming up Sunday, everyone is invited to the Gary Martin's Supper Sunday and Show and Shine Car Show. That's happening here, so everyone can come. Is there any other announcements anyone would like to make today? And there's one at the back.
Good morning, it's Kathy here. I just wanted to clarify the item in the bulletin. We are meeting for our friendship Bible study wind-up at Rossmere at 11:30 on Tuesday morning, not as indicated in the bulletin at 10 o'clock. Thank you.
Okay.
I have a couple of announcements for all of the parents and youth who I'm not seeing here today. There is no Youth Day at Birds Hill today. That will be moved to June 9th. And that will be after the service. And also, we have 5 youth that will be working at Camps with Meaning this summer, which is very exciting that they'll be helping be part of that ministry. But because there are that many youth working, they will be the amount that we will be paying them will be over what has been budgeted. So there'll be some kind of fundraiser that the youth will plan and put together to help support the camp ministry. So just keep your ears open for more details on that. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other announcements? I guess I kind of have an announcement. It's just about coffee. So me and Ryan are going to be doing coffee for the end of May, and also we're going to go into, like, all of June. But then starting July and August, we'll be taking a little break. But then we'll start back up in September again, just so you all know. And you all are welcome to come down for coffee, too. Happens in the morning before the service. So now, if you'd like to all join me in prayer. O Lord, live in us. May your love beat and through our hearts. Let your love be with all those who are going through a hard time, who are in hospitals and care homes. Jesus, be the strength of our souls and fill us with your great abounding grace. Your strength and loving kindness knows no end. In Jesus' name, amen.
The next song, Ich weiß einen Strom, the choir was going to sing on its own, but then I thought, most everyone here today probably could sing along with us. So if you'd like to do that, open up your German little books that we haven't sung from a long time. Number 267, Ich weiß einen Strom, and we'll sing verse 1, 2, and 4. Okay, so join the choir with that.
Thank you.
Today I will be reading from John chapter 14, 23 to 29, and also Revelations chapter 21, verse 10, and then 22 into chapter 22 to 5. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I've spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now, before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of the God gives it light and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light and the King of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be there. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and its servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever.
Well, good morning. I think we'll begin with a little bit of lightheartedness. John in the back there, Weens, the one who makes sure that we follow all the right rules in this church, Already gave me an indication this morning that I was breaking a rule. So I have to explain my attire this morning. Okay, so you know that I'm a sports fan. Oh yeah, okay. Do you know the logo? Okay, a bunch of you do. Well, I've been into basketball most of my life, and since the Toronto Raptors entered the National Basketball Association 25 years ago, I have cheered for them. And there have been some good years and lots of bad ones. There was quite a good year in 99, 2000, and my oldest son and I were quite caught up in that. I'm sure he's probably wearing a T-shirt like this in church as he preaches this morning, too. I didn't check with him. I don't know. Anyway, so last night, Cheryl and I watched the game, the Eastern Conference Championship game, as it turned out, and the Raptors won the Eastern Conference Championship. They're going to the finals. They could win it all. Who knows? Cheryl said, "I dare you to wear a shirt." Not only that, I think I'm pretty sure I heard these words: "That's all I want for my birthday." Well, who can't? I mean, you got to respond to that, right? If you can get off on a birthday as easy as that? Well, now I'm portraying myself as cheap again. There you go. And lucky. Lucky to have a spouse I could watch a game with. Yes. And enjoy. So, that's the story behind the shirt this morning, and I thought you might appreciate it. Another little piece of lightheartedness that I thought of here is these poor children never having seen a river, not knowing a river, and I'm thinking, these parents of theirs. Jean-Michel has told me that he likes the outdoors, he likes camping, and so on. Never by a river? There you go. I would have thought they might have been. Jean-Michel said they were on a lake last weekend. So there you go. Okay. Well, with the, you know, I don't mind. You know that I think that playfulness is a pretty good trait, and it's a good part of church too. So, there you go. Let's focus our thoughts in prayer before we begin our sermon. Gracious God, we thank you for this morning, for the opportunity to be together as a worshiping family, a community. And we pray that your Spirit would lead our thoughts, guide our directions, draw us closer to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen. So after I spent some time with the lectionary texts for today, and you have picked up three of them now this morning in the scripture reading and the children's story, after I spent some time with them in preparation and reflection this week, the imagery of rivers became dominant for me. Now, before we describe what that imagery might mean for our understanding of the Christian life, we might reflect on our human desire to live near rivers. Ingrid already kind of pointed that out to us and gave a bit of history. When you think of the cities in our country, you recognize that people have settled near water in general, and frequently that water has been a river. This is probably not news to anybody, but it provides an introduction to the sermon. I surveyed many of the larger cities in our country with respect to being built by a river or a larger body of water. Halifax, check. Ottawa, check. Montreal, check. Quebec City, check. Toronto, check. Hamilton, check. Winnipeg, check. Saskatoon, check. Edmonton, check. Calgary, check. Vancouver, yeah. Victoria, sure. Regina, oh. Well, I wanted to be accurate, so I looked at the maps and checked the Wikipedia information about Regina, and because I remember that there was water in the city, but there's only, according to what I saw, there's only a little creek that runs through the city, and they dammed it up and created water, but really not built by water. So I conclude that Regina is a mistake. Okay, that's a joke, of course. From one prairie city to another, right? People have chosen to live by rivers and cities have developed alongside rivers because rivers help to provide life. They were transportation conduits. They provided water for daily living requirements. They helped to ensure that agriculture could flourish. Today, perhaps we don't need them as much for those things, but we still like to live near rivers because we think they're good to look at and because they provide for some recreational opportunities. See, in my experience at least, real estate properties that are along rivers, the values for them are higher, and often substantially so, than for properties that aren't along rivers. So as a result, the image of living alongside a river may be an apt image for thinking about living well in relationship with God. It seems to me that our lectionary texts for today would remind us that there is much to be gained by living in relationship with God. God means for us to live well, and the image of living by a river brings that to mind. So a river plays a geographical role in the story in Acts 16, one of the revised common lectionary texts for today. And Ingrid told us the story with the children. In that story, the Apostle Paul traveled to Philippi, a leading city in the region of Macedonia, for the purpose of telling the story of Jesus. On the Sabbath, he and his friends headed for the river, where they anticipated finding a place where they could pray. And when they got to the river, they found a group of women there, spoke to them about Jesus. One of the women there was named Lydia, and she responded positively to the message of Jesus. She chose to become a follower of Jesus. There, and then she and the members of her household were baptized. There, alongside a river, she made a choice to align her life with the life of Jesus. She was about to experience the new and sustaining life that God offers, and it all happened beside a river. I thought that set the stage nicely for considering the next text for this morning, the text we read in Revelation, where a river exists. There, John, the writer of Revelation as we understand it, once again describes a vision to his readers. In his vision, an angel carries John and shows him the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. This is the same image we considered last Sunday, the vision of a city coming down out of the sky to the earth. And then John describes the city that he sees in this vision. In the part of the vision about the city that we didn't read, that preceded what we read, John describes its size, the size of the city, as a cube of about 1,500 miles in each direction. It's a bit mind-boggling as to how you can see that in a vision, that the city is 1,500 miles long, wide, and high. He describes it as having great walls with foundations of precious stones, 12 gates, each gate made of one giant pearl. The great street of the city is pure gold. Now, I think we understand, when we think of the implications of the description of the city, that this is not to be understood by us as some kind of literal description of heaven. We may have thought that way when we were children, but we recognize now that John is communicating in a highly figurative description a vision of how God is creating a wondrous living context for humanity. When we move into the section of the vision that we read earlier, we note some images that communicate important things about God's full life for us. This city is full of God's presence. For John's readers, with their Jewish cultural background, a temple would have been the expected centerpiece of God's ideal city. The city of John's vision has no temple. John writes that this is because God and Jesus are the temple. This would seem to indicate that God is directly present, and no intermediary structure is needed in this city to remind people of God. The city John describes doesn't need light. Any light source, I should say, doesn't need a light source like what we know now, the sun or the moon, because God's glory gives it light. It's very interesting also that John describes this city as one that has no gates, and that all the nations enter it. Theologically, I don't want to get into that. It might mean something. But it surely means that in this city, there is no need for the security of walls. God is its security. John indicates that this will be a city where only good exists. There will be nothing to fear or to avoid. And then John describes the river. Finally, we get to the river, I promised. The city John describes has a throne in the middle of the city where God and Jesus, characterized as the Lamb in the image, sit. And from the river flows the river of the water of life. The river flows on down the middle of the great street of the city. The river evidently nourishes one amazing tree, a tree that stands on both sides of the river. One tree standing on both sides of the river. And that yields a significant crop of fruit each month of the year. The tree has leaves that are used somehow to heal the nations. So once again, John emphasizes that this beautiful city with its river of life will be a place of perfection filled with God's perfect light that restores humanity. What are we to make of this vision? Now, I already suggested earlier, when we talked about the size of the city and the description of its walls and gates, that we are not to understand this as a literal description of heaven as we may once have understood. Now, I don't believe there's any harm in imagining heaven to be this literal city, but I don't think that that's the purpose of the communication. The vision is intended to communicate that one day humanity will live in God's perfect, peaceful, blessed presence. That truth is communicated in apocalyptic language that the readers in the first century would have understood as being highly figurative. This vision contrasted the city of New Jerusalem with the city of Babylon, described in chapters 18 and 19 of Revelation. Babylon represented the Roman Empire and its demands of loyalty and worship. Those who promised to follow Jesus and rejected Babylon, that is the Roman Empire, were promised the future of a glorious, curse-free life in God's presence. The other question we have when we ask what we are to make of this vision is whether we are to understand this as referring to heaven at all. Perhaps we are not to read it as a literal description of heaven, but is it intended to tell us about life in heaven at all once earthly life is complete? Well, maybe. It certainly serves the purpose of encouraging the followers of Jesus to be faithful to their commitment to follow Jesus if they have a vision of a glorious life to await after life on earth is complete for those who have been faithful. But it's probably not best to think of this image as describing an eternity in some location removed from the earth. This vision, after all, has the city coming down out of the sky to the earth and containing something like a recreated Garden of Eden from the first book of the Bible within the city. There's all kinds of imagery involved there. That particular picture might serve to caution us if we think that how we treat the world that God has created doesn't matter. Now, this is a bit of an aside from the main point of the sermon, but it's probably worth saying. I think it would caution us against making the kind of statement that one prominent pastor in the United States made. I know who made the environment. He's coming back and he's going to burn it all up. So yes, I drive an SUV. Now, see, I don't think that we should think of the created earth that way. And that's one reason I said it's not best to think of this vision as referring to an eternity removed from this earth. I also think it's not best to think of it this way because then we might think that the promises of God's good life for humanity are only for some time in the future. That excellent river life is something we can only wait for. See, we do wait for its fulfillment in eternity, but we are encouraged by Scripture to think of God's river life as also present for the followers of Jesus now. In the Gospel of John, Jesus often speaks of life that is full and abundant. Sometimes it sounds like that full life is for an eternal future, but sometimes it sounds like Jesus means now. I think we are to understand that perfect life in God's presence is future, but that we are given it in some measure while on earth too. In our text from the Gospel of John this morning, Jesus did some teaching with his disciples about... Jesus did some teaching with his disciples after they were anxious about his statements that he was going to leave them. In this passage, Jesus assured his disciples that it would be okay for them if he left. We picked up Jesus' teaching right after Jesus told his disciples that they would continue to see him even if the world couldn't see him. Judas asks why Jesus would show himself to them, the disciples, while not showing himself to the world. Jesus doesn't answer that question. He reminds the disciples that those who love him will obey his teaching, and then says that God will love those who do so and will come to them with Jesus, and they, that is God and Jesus, will make their home with them, that is, those who love him. And then Jesus looks ahead and tells his disciples that the Holy Spirit is going to come. I believe we are to understand that this is what Jesus was referring to when he said that he and the Father would come to make their home with his followers. Along with the historic Christian church, we believe that the Holy Spirit is one, hard to know what word to use, one aspect of God who is three persons in one. Then Jesus describes some of what his followers can expect when the Holy Spirit comes to live with them and in them. The Holy Spirit will provide teaching and remind the followers of Jesus of what Jesus taught while on earth. And then Jesus says he will leave his peace with his followers. Jesus' followers might have thought of the Roman Empire at this point and its promise of peace to its citizens. You might remember the phrase Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. The peace of Rome came given by human government, a government that controlled its people, that by force made its people live in peace of a sort. Jesus does not refer to a peace that is forced upon people. Jesus refers to a peace that is more than an absence of conflict. It means a genuine, full-fledged sense of well-being. This peace cannot be given by human government. It can only be given by God. And here Jesus again indicates to his followers that there is fullness of life experience that is to be gained through the presence of God with them in the person of the Holy Spirit. When John's vision in Revelation shows us a river of life flowing from the throne, I believe it means to tell us that God has a full and restored life available for the followers of Jesus. I expect that we will experience that only in its completeness, only in eternity, but I believe that God intends for us to experience it at some level in our earthly lives too. The image of a river reminds us of God's intention of goodness and well-being for us, and that God makes that available to us. Now, you may wonder, like me, why it is that we so often experience life as energy-sapping and difficult, when this image suggests that it should be energy-filling and joyful. And I have a few responses to that. One is that we are just simply not yet in this state of the perfect, completed life that is imagined in Revelation. We continue to live in a place and time where evil and curse exists, where government oppresses, where humans choose poorly, where mental illness challenges us, where physical illness and bereavement continue. As a result, the influences around us ensure that we will not have this absolutely perfect, peaceful life. Another response is that perhaps we are guilty of blocking some of what God would have for us by not being aware of and receptive to what God has for us. Perhaps we don't take the time to reflect on the ways that God is active and alive in our lives. Perhaps we don't take the time in prayer to align our choices with God's desires and to reflect on the goodness of God that is revealed to us in our life experiences. Perhaps we don't cultivate the growth of God's presence in us through regular reception of his communication to us in the Bible. Now, I don't intend to promise that more Bible reading and prayer will make our lives completely peaceful and whole. No matter how we order our lives, we are still subject to influences around us. But I do believe that practicing awareness of how God is present with us through disciplines like Bible reading and prayer will move us toward experiencing as much of God's river of life as we can in our earthly lives. In the story with which we began this morning's tour through the lectionary texts, Lydia and her female friends had gone down to the river near the city of Philippi to pray. In their time of prayer, the Apostle Paul came to them and shared Jesus, and they came to know the presence of God in a new way. May we continue to go down to that figurative river of life found in relationship with God in order to know the peaceful well-being that God has for us. Let's pray. Our generous God, we have reflected on teaching and vision in the Scripture that reminds us that you desire goodness, well-being, peace, health for us, your followers. We're grateful that you are such a God, that we get a piece, a taste of that now. May you encourage us. May we be inspired and encouraged to continue to reflect on how you are present, how you are at work, how you are restoring us and bringing us to this place of rest and well-being. Guide us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
If you'd like to stand now and join us as we sing, or we will sing all together, As I Went Down to the River to Pray, which is in your bulletin. Now, there's a bit of confusing to me when I looked at it anyway. So we sing the top part, which is sort of considered the chorus, and then we sing verse 1, 2, and 3, and then we always go back to the beginning, and then you have to turn the page, and on the back is verse 4. Then you go back to the beginning and sing again, and you'll sing verse 5, and then you get to verse 6, and so just follow along, but you have to kind of flip your page around. Whoever wrote this didn't write it for people like us.
Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.